You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. And your San Antonio Spurs will be in action tonight versus the Houston Rockets at home. Been a long time since they've been at the AT&T Center, but they're back to take on the interdivision rival. I don't even know what to call it, a rival way that these two teams are playing this season. But basically, that's what we're going to do. We're going to preview tonight's contest as well as take a look back at the previous game. I'm calling the massacre in Minnesota. Basically, what happened? How did it get to that point? Are there any positives? Is there a silver lining in all this? So to do that, I am joined by Jim Lefko, my colleague at News 4 San Antonio. Jim, Spurs are back home, but let's rewind the clock a bit. Your thoughts on what happened in Minnesota? The Spurs got clobbered, and it wasn't pretty.
Well, I like your name, the Massacre at Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's pretty apt. When you lose by 39 points, you got to call it something. You know, my view of the NBA is if you lose by one, it's almost harder than if you lose by 30. And they didn't show up. You know, they played a horrible second quarter. You know, when you score 9 points in a quarter in the era where it takes 120 to 130 to win a game, you're in trouble. And they just didn't bring it. You know, it's kind of a time-honored tradition that the last game of a road trip is phone it in time for a lot of teams. We haven't seen that out of the Spurs traditionally, but a lot of other teams, you know, don't bring their A game when they've been on the road for a week because they're looking ahead to getting home. And unfortunately, I think that's what we saw last night. You know, it wasn't a back-to-back situation. You know, they should have had their legs. They're moderately healthy, but they just didn't have it when they needed it to stay with a really talented Minnesota team that did come to play.
Yeah. This is a Minnesota team the Spurs beat in the opening game of the regular season, and they beat them fairly okay. You know, they didn't blow them out, but, you know, they didn't hand it to them. So heading into this game, Jim, I thought – that maybe the Spurs could pick up the win simply because they had a recent roster change. Jimmy Butler is gone. You know, Covington and Saric are in. They're still trying to get their legs/chemistry under them. But no, the Spurs, in my opinion, were their own worst enemy versus the T-Wolves. 19 turnovers, 26 Minnesota points. That second quarter, I don't even want to talk about it. 9 points in a quarter, Jim. I sat there, my mouth was just open, watching this team, thinking, how much worse can it get, Jim?
Well, you know, I think as bad as it was in the second quarter, I was a little confused with the starting lineup they went with. You know, putting Derek White out there with Bryn Forbes, I'm not sure that's the strongest combination they have, and kind of had gotten used to him like Cunningham in the starting lineup. And, you know, to see him come off the bench, the chemistry looked a little kilter the first quarter, although, you know, at the end of one, the Spurs were right with him. As you mentioned, the second quarter was where it all fell apart, and you can credit Minnesota's defense to some extent, but you know, the Spurs sure weren't shooting very well. So it was a combination of both, and you know, DeRozan didn't really have it going early like he has in so many games. So kind of a combination of things. You know, they never really found their rhythm. It's a good Minnesota team that was motivated. I understand the weather was not great, so just a cold environment, and I guess Minnesota's used to playing that kind of environment, so even though it was, you know, decent temperature inside the building, but. I don't know. It's just sometimes one of those things that happens where your team doesn't show up. And, you know, you have to take it and move on. And thankfully, they get to play again tonight and play against a team that they can, you know, prove their stuff against, because Houston's struggling right along with the Spurs right now.
Yeah.
You've got two under 500 teams, but Minnesota was under 500 before they played the Spurs, too. So I don't know how much you make out of that as this Western Conference tries to sort itself out. You've got a lot of teams with records that are below what they thought they'd be at this point.
Versus Minnesota at the final, when you look at the final box score, obviously what stands out is the second quarter, 9 points in a quarter. But when Jakob Poeltl is your leading scorer, Quincy Pondexter has a season best 13 points, and the Spurs are limited to a season low 9 points in the second quarter, it just makes for a bad game. You know, what just got me was this team just showing their Jekyll and Hyde side, or sides, if you will. They come out in the first, hanging in there with Minnesota, 25-28 after the first quarter. Then we all know what happened in that second quarter, 29-9. Minnesota wins that quarter. They're shooting abysmally. Is this something as simple as Pop has been kind of saying, or no, he has been saying post-game following losses, this team is still not there. They're still trying to find themselves. They're developing. It's a brand new roster. He's seemingly always going to that whenever the team loses.
Well, and I'm not going to say this just because I wrote a column on the topic, but you didn't see this under Manu Ginobili too often.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just one of those things where you need some leadership. When things start going south, you need somebody to, you know, take control and to refuse to let it happen. And I'm not sure who that person is on this team. You know, it's fine to say you're a leader when you're winning. I think you need leadership more when you're losing. And you look at the statistics, to me, don't mean as much in a rout because you're not playing normal minutes. You know, the rotation is screwy in the second half. It was mainly, you know, third and fourth quarters were garbage time. But you look at the plus minus sometimes is revealing. Rudy Gay had a minus 33 for plus minus. And I don't look at that every game, but that's got to be among the worst in his career. You know, he was 1 of 5 from the field, 18 minutes, and he's been one of their most, you know, steadiest, valuable players. So that tells you something right there. And it wasn't any better for the rest of the starters, but he was the worst. And to be honest, the bench's plus minus was at least, you know, a little bit better. They were all negative, you know, in a route like that. But boy, when your best players are minus 33, minus 26, minus 22, you know, the final score is going to be ugly. So, you know, I think you put this one in the vault. You know, you learn what you can from it and move on and tell yourself that there can't be too many more like this. At least it happened on the road to a good team. You know, it's almost easier to stomach something like this than when you let one get away against a bad team on the road, like a Phoenix, you know, because that's a missed opportunity. You know, the Spurs could have brought their A game last night, and if Minnesota had their A game, which they did, you know, it still might have ended with a loss, but at least it would have been respectable.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, this situation, you know, you don't want to see too many efforts like this or the season's going to get away from them.
Yeah. I'm like, what effort? I mean, seriously, what effort did they bring, you know? I mean, quick correction, the Spurs had 18 turnovers for the game versus Minnesota, so my mistake. But, again, you know, the Spurs just simply didn't value the ball. You know, we're talking about the turnovers. The Minnesota Timberwolves had 18 steals on the night versus San Antonio, and it only gets worse. The Spurs shot an abysmal 39% from the field for the entire game, while Minnesota shot 51%, Jim, and 44% from the three-point line.
Well, and you mentioned the steals. I don't know if you should have gone to the other side of that table. The Spurs had one steal. You play 48 minutes and you get one steal. So that kind of shows you a little bit of the effort that was going into that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the turnovers. You know, DeRozan had 5 turnovers. He only made 4 shots. So that's a statistic you won't see too often where he has more turnovers than made field goals. But, again, the stats in a loss of this magnitude, probably not as relevant just because the minutes were atypical. If there's a positive, they didn't have to play long minutes. You know, Aldridge and DeRozan have been, you know, on the court a lot this year. I think they were both in the top 12 or 15 at the start of the road trip. And the good thing is when you get blown out, you rest your players. And both of them played in the mid-20s last night, and everybody should be nice and rested for tonight's game.
Yeah, and then, you know, the young guys barely get any minutes on the court. Chimezie Metu, Pondexter, they got some burn on the court. That was good for them, although Metu maybe didn't like getting posterized during the game, and that was just very, very – that was one sweet dunk. As much as I cover the Spurs, I have to be impressed. I was impressed with that dunk. But, it was just, a bad game. Like you mentioned, you know, you throw it in the vault, you build off it, and that's kind of one of the common threads that – Popovich was saying afterwards, saying, you know, in a nutshell, I'm paraphrasing here, you know, what more can they do? All you can do is put it away and move on and get better. And hopefully they get better soon. But, Jim, before we preview tonight's Houston game, let's you and I look back at this 4-game road trip. We talked about it on a recent Lockdown Spurs, our predictions. You predicted 2-2, and that came out pretty there, you know, it was a 2-2 road trip. Is that any indication of a good sign moving forward? They were even on the road. On the road is where they've been struggling this season.
Sure. Yeah, after their history going back to last season, the 2-2 trip constitutes a positive development. You hate to end it with the butt kicking that they took, but it's also circumstance. You know, Indiana didn't have a couple of its better players when the Spurs hit them. And it's all about timing in the NBA. You know, it's when you play a team and who they've got available and how they're playing. So it was fortuitous for the Spurs to get to Indiana when Oladipo, Miles Turner were not in the lineup. And they took advantage of that. And then you figured Chicago would be the other game they would win. And maybe it was a little closer than people would have liked, but it still counts as a W. And You know, they had some things to grow from that game, but yeah, 2-2 trip. Most teams will take that, especially when it's the kind of opposition that the Spurs faced. Now they got to hold serve at home, but yeah, that getting that road record closer to 500 is got to be a must if they do have serious playoff aspirations, because you can't just count on you know, beating everybody at home. You know, you got to show your savvy when you're away from the AT&T Center too.
Yeah, look, I was asked about this on yesterday's Locked On Spurs. You know, any silver linings in this road trip? And I said, yeah, they're 2-2. That was good. They upped their record. And I also brought this too, that, hey, you know, they're having to have to come together. And I think the lowest point that they were this season, hopefully doesn't get any lower versus Minnesota, that there's nowhere for them to go but up. That's it. I don't think it can get any worse. I mean, I guess it could, you know, DeMar gets hurt or LaMarcus gets hurt. But outside of that, you know, talk about fuel. I mean, this could possibly fuel them in tonight's contest versus Houston.
It could. I think the bigger picture is you don't want to lose touch with the goal, which is to make the playoffs. And,
yeah,
and right now, they're still right where they need to be. That crazy Western Conference, you know, five games separates first from 14th. And everybody but Phoenix is kind of in the hunt. So, you know, you're a game under 500. If you're a game over 500, you'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
As long as they can, you know, keep touch with that and not get, you know, too many games removed from where they want to be, then they're fine. But, again, it's late November. It's a little early to, you know, be watching the standings and the scoreboard. But you have to be aware of where you stand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really good teams down there with them, you know,
yeah,
between Houston, Utah, Minnesota. You know, these are all teams right now are, you know, ranked from 10th to 14th. Pelicans, you know, right there too. So those are all non-playoff teams right now. I think that's going to change. You know, there are teams that are up there that had good starts, maybe, you know, settle back a little bit. But again, you don't want to get too far away from where you need to be, because it's pretty competitive in this conference right now. You know,
mm-hmm,
you don't have a lot of passes every night, and it'd be nice to be in the East where you have all these, you know, sub 500 teams that, you know, don't put up the kind of challenge that the Western teams do. But that's not how the schedule's arranged. So that's why that road win is so important at a city like Indiana, where,
mm-hmm,
In a game against Indiana, because that's a quality win. Indiana's right now in the top half of the Eastern Conference. And it was also important why you got to take advantage of a team like the Bulls. It's, you know, arguably one of the worst teams in the NBA. So, you know, all in all, if you want to put that road trip in perspective, I'd put it down as maybe a B, even a B-plus, to get that 2-2 record. You know, do we feel better about them if they lose by five, you know,
exactly,
at Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd still be 2-2. You know, you wouldn't maybe be thinking the sky is falling. But, again, I just don't get that caught up in the total severity of a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just a matter of the second team not coming in and making a run like you thought they would. And then you lose by 20. And, again, does that make you feel better than, you know, losing by 35 or whatever they lost by last night? I think at one point they were down 48. You know, that's not where you want to be.
yeah.
Traditionally, with Popovich, you don't find themselves on that side of a route. We're more comfortable with them being on the plus side of those kind of lopsided games. But, hey, it happened, and learn from it and move on.
Yeah, that's exactly what Jim and I are going to do right now. We're going to move on. So we're going to take our first break. When we get back, we're going to preview tonight's contest versus the Rockets. We are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko. Follow him on Twitter, at Jim Lefko. Jim, San Antonio versus Houston tonight at the AT&T Center. We talked about it in the first portion of this show. You know, the Spurs have some company down at the bottom of the barrel in the Western Conference, and Houston, surprisingly, is one of them. They're coming in with a record of 9-11, and the Spurs obviously go into this game 10-11. Okay, so here we are, Houston versus San Antonio. What's your first thought, Jim?
Well, I'm surprised. You know, when you see the Rockets second from anywhere in the Western Conference, you figure it'd be second from the top,
yeah,
second from the bottom. Their record's only better than Phoenix. But again, because of how tightly congested everything is, if they come in here and win, then the Spurs are down there, you know, where the Rockets were.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Houston's going to get it figured out. You know, Harden's been putting up some huge numbers. He had 50 or 60 the other night in a loss. He's getting triple doubles. You know, they got rid of Carmelo Anthony, or in the process of, you know, he's not going to play for them anymore. I think it's not the defensive team that it was last year, but I think when they get their mojo back, they'll be able to score with anybody else in the league. You know, that Chris Paul, James Harden tandem is still, should be an unstoppable one. They haven't figured it out yet. They're off to a slow start. And, you know, it's been interesting to watch the Texas teams this year. You know,
mm-hmm,
you would have thought that Houston was going to be the strongest of the Texas teams, and then the Spurs, and then the Mavericks, and it's exact opposite. Mavericks are over 500. Spurs are fighting to get there, and the Rockets are a couple under. So I think it'll sort itself out. Hopefully it doesn't start tonight. It'd be nice to see the Spurs get another W against the Rockets, but it'll be a juiced crowd. It's Friday night. It's a, you know, state rival, and people are eager to see if the Spurs can put that Minnesota game behind them, and I expect good things from them.
Yeah, the Spurs are not the only team that got popped in the mouth heading into tonight's contest. Houston also got smashed up a bit versus Dallas, losing 128-108. They lost by 20. Again, two teams that, you know, are coming in limping, whether it be physically. We know what's going on with Pau Gasol. Lonnie Walker's back. You know, who knows when he'll play with San Antonio, if and when he will play. And, of course, DeJounte Murray. Houston, they're having their internal struggles, the Carmelo Anthony drama. Do you think the Spurs can pounce on that? And it seems to me like these are two wounded dogs trying to fight each other right now, and whoever can get the best advantage is going to win. But when I look at this game, and at least on paper, you know, Houston is still a little scary. When you have the MVP, James Harden, and Chris Paul, and a guy who's playing really well, James Ennis, and P.J. Tucker, this team can pose problems tonight for San Antonio.
Yeah, I agree. Chris Paul did not play in that Dallas game.
Yeah.
He was due to illness, and, you know, you don't know if he's going to be okay or not. You figure he probably will be. Eric Gordon's been playing really well for the Rockets. You know, great shooter from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Capella, you know, solidifies things inside. You know, loves to dunk and runs the court. It's a good team. And again, they were within a game of the Western Finals last year, so I think they've got a run in them. It hadn't started yet, and we'll see if it can hopefully not start for, you know, at least another game. But this team has all sorts of potential. They have the Spurs are going to have their hands full, and they need to bring more defensive intensity. You know, we've talked about that all year.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like Houston can fill it up in a hurry. You don't want to see a guy like Harden go off.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to shoot the ball a lot. The ball is always in his hands, and you know, you got to keep him away from the free throw line. He had 17 assists in that Dallas game.
Wow.
That got my attention on his way to a triple-double, but it was a losing effort. So, you know, that's, we talked before about stats and what they matter and what they don't. You figure if you start a night saying that James Harden's going to have 17 assists, 11 rebounds, and 25 points, they're probably going to win a game at Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen. So, you know, he can't do it himself. And, you know, it's a good team that just hasn't found its way. And I think the Spurs, being at home, you know, should be the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they bring that kind of defensive intensity that we've seen at home and occasionally on the road, that they'll thrive. But, you know,
yeah,
you just never know from night to night what kind of skill set we're going to see out of that defense. Will they communicate? Will they shift? Will they adjust? Or will it be a layup drill? And we've seen all sorts and all kinds. And I'll guarantee you this, if the score gets up in the 120s and 130s, I like Houston's chances a lot better than I like the Spurs.
Yeah, you mentioned James Harden. Just over the past three games, he's averaging 39.7 points per game, 14.3 assists per game, 7.7 rebounds per game, 3.3 steals per game. And obviously, he has to increase his performance because of the injury to Paul. And the Rockets this season are 0-5 without Chris Paul. So it just really shows you just how valuable Chris Paul really is, despite the numbers that Harden is putting up.
Yeah, and he does fill the stat sheet. You know, again, it was a loss for them, so how much does it matter? But just to put it in perspective, he had 17 assists in that Dallas game. The
mm-hmm.
Spurs as a team had 23 in Minnesota. There's nobody on the Spurs as a candidate to get 17 assists in a game at this point. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just don't see that. So what that tells me is the ball was in Harden's hand the entire night. You know, with Chris Paul not playing,
right,
everything went through him, and he's the kind of guy you want to have confidence in to, you know, put those kind of numbers up. But in the case of the game at Dallas, it didn't translate to a win. So it was kind of all for naught.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fear there is that he just takes over a game. And, you know, there were times in previous years where the Spurs could move a Kawhi Leonard on him for a while. I
mm-hmm.
just remember some classic showdowns between the Rockets and the Spurs, including playoff games, where not only Kawhi, but also Manu, you know, came up with the big plays against Harden. Those two guys, you know, don't wear the silver and black anymore. So who's going to be the one to step up and make that key block
on
a Harden jumper at the end of the game? Who's going to take a charge? You know, who's going to stop Clint Capella? So these are the things we'll find out when they line up tonight.
Well, that's obviously going to be you, Jim, because the Spurs going to need you to get into uniform and slow down Harden and Capella.
I'm going to be sitting up there in the mezzanine. So if they come up by me, I'll weigh them down with a towel or something. But the Spurs have the horses. You know,
yeah.
Everybody wants to talk about the defense that they're playing. I actually think they've got the skill and the talent to play better defense. I just think the intangibles are what are stopping him. You know, we hear so much about communication, and it's easy. Here's a bad pun. It's easier said than done.
Yeah.
To be a good communicator. But what that means is when you get screen shifting, you know, rotating, talking to each other, weak side help, you know, not giving up on contested layups. And you'd think, you know, 20 or so games into the season that the communication process would be a little bit better. But it is still a new group that I guess has not found its way yet. And what's frustrating is, you know, that Minnesota game that we said we wouldn't talk about anymore.
Yeah.
They have a lot of new faces up there, but they seem to be communicating pretty effectively. So you'd think that, like I say, about a quarter of the way through the season, the Spurs, you know, should be communicating a little bit better so that they're not just giving up so many uncontested shots at the rim and so many wide open jump shots.
Yeah, you mentioned Eric Gordon, who has been starting in the past three games for Chris Paul. He's averaging 27 points, 48% shooting in Paul's stead. So, you know, he's going to be a handful for the perimeter defense, Jim, that really hasn't been there all much this season. Just ask Minnesota how easy it was for them to get to the rim and then score in the paint.
Yeah, and that's what's disappointing. You know, Aldridge, I guess, is as close as the Spurs have to a shot blocker.
Yeah.
Gasol, when he was healthy, might get a block or two here and there. But, you know, this is the hand they're dealt. And with Gasol's injury, that stress fracture in the foot, we're not sure, you know, how long he's going to be out. But I don't think help is coming from him anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Lonnie Walker, as you mentioned, makes his debut tonight in Austin. The cynic might say, is that going to be a more exciting game than what we're going to see in San Antonio? I'm not ready to go that far, but I am curious to see how Walker does. I think it'll still be a little bit of time before he, A, gets in shape, and, B, is ready to contribute to, at the NBA level. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, help is on the horizon. So it'll be a nice lift to get an energetic young kid like him into the rotation and see what he can do. But, you know, for now, this is the hand they've been dealt. You know, injuries are part of the NBA life, and they've got to find something. You know, they got to dig down and a little inner resolve to stop, you know, the slide that started in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have two repeat performances like that, or they'll have serious issues.
Yeah, exactly. Now, for the Rockets, as far as their road record, overall, they are 5-6 this season heading into tonight's contest. And versus the West, they're 2-3. So, they have their struggles on the road as well. All right, so Jim and I, we're going to take our final break. We get back, we're going to wrap up this episode and give our game prediction. All right, we are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko, News 4 San Antonio. Jim, you and I will be at the AT&T Center tonight covering this game for the Spurs Zone at News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. I just want to make sure, please, Jim, do not upstage me and wear your Kawhi New Balance shoes, please. Please, I don't know if I can handle that amount of awesomeness on your feet, Jim.
Well, I'll leave those at home to not get booed.
Yeah, I was going to put mine away, too. No, I mean, seriously, he goes from wearing Jordan brands to New Balance, Jim. Wow.
Yeah, there must be a little bit of money involved, but I'll tell you what, whenever I hear Kawhi Leonard, no, first thing I think of is Toronto's 18-4 record.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody hasn't noticed, not only is it leading the East, it's leading the NBA and by a wide margin.
Yeah.
So that, you know, whatever they're doing up there, whatever they're wearing on their feet, the Raptors are playing pretty good ball. And, you know, what can they sustain it? You know, we'll see. But, you know, Kawhi's had an interesting start. We've talked before that he might, you know, he should be an MVP candidate. He had some things to say about the leadership, you know, when that was raised by Pop earlier in the week. And, you know, he's having the kind of year I think that Toronto had dreamed that he would have. And he's not making any off-court, you know, negative news
yeah.
for them. And they're trying to continue to recruit him. So that shoe deal, that's one more little piece of the puzzle that he didn't feel like he could get here or wasn't able to finalize, and he was able to take care of that up there. So
yeah, exactly.
We'll see how it shakes out for him. But as we've stated before, we kind of like to put Kawhi in a rearview mirror, at least till early January when he comes to make his first appearance in San Antonio as a Raptor.
I'm pretty sure Spurs fans will be saying New Balance over and over again. If he does play, they're going to be saying not a leader. You remember that little back and forth?
Yeah.
Well, not really directly, but indirectly between Pop and Kawhi. So, oh, well, you know, we'll wait till January, see how that game shakes out. All right. So as far as the matter at hand, Spurs at Rockets, Jim, take it away. How do you think this is going to end?
Well, I almost hate to make another prediction because I want to live off that 2-2 road trip a little bit longer because it's not often you get something right like that. You know, I think there's a pride factor here. You know, the Spurs have played pretty well at home. They're 6-3. You know, unless something crazy happens, unless Harden really goes off, I think this is a Spurs W.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get that bad taste out of their mouth from Minneapolis, and the way you do that is by beating a quality opponent. And despite, you know, Houston's 9-11 record, they're still a quality opponent, and mm-hmm. they're a state rival. So I think the motivation will be high. It'll be a juiced crowd. There'll be some red-clad Rockets fans there, you know,
yep.
with Spurs fans. But I think home cooking is going to help, and I think the Spurs pull out this one.
I'm going to go opposite, Jim. I think the Spurs drop another game. That'll be their second in a row. I think the combo of Harden and Gordon is just too much for the Spurs perimeters. They can get to the rim. Spurs don't really have that much rim protection. You mentioned LaMarcus Aldridge is probably their best. But outside of him, if they get past that first layer of defense, it could be lights out. You know, Capella, you know, is going to present some challenges for LaMarcus, and he having to play the five spot because of Pau Gasol's injury. I just think this is a bad mix. I think it's going to be a competitive game. I don't expect another 9-point outing in the quarter for San Antonio. I hope not, knock on wood. But I think it'll come down to that fourth quarter, and I just think the Rockets just have that little bit much more as far as player personnel and, you know, I just, Jim, I'm just going to be honest with you. This first team is worrying me now. you probably put out Phoenix Suns again. I'd be, you know what? They lost them again. They'll probably lose again. I mean, I would not be shocked. But at the end of the day, I just think Houston is just a little bit too much for the Spurs to handle. And James Harden could probably have himself a field day later on tonight. So as I mentioned earlier on the show, Jim and I will be at the AT&T Center later on tonight to cover Spurs and Rockets for News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. I urge you, follow us on Twitter tonight. We're going to have a lot of pregame coverage. We're going to have a lot of postgame coverage. We're going to do a 1-2 punch on this game. We're going to be giving you everything from videos to pictures. Please follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Jeff G Spurs Zone. And then Jim, take it away.
Jim Lefko on Twitter. Happy to interact with anybody that has an opinion about what they're seeing regarding the silver and black.
Yep, so I urge you to give Jim a follow tonight. He's going to have some great pictures, videos, whatever he does, that magic he has. And I'm going to be honest with you, listeners, I'm going to be watching him because I got to learn from one of the best. So I'll be taking copious notes, Jim, so don't think I'm stalking you tonight.
I appreciate the compliment, and hope the game lives up to the pregame hype.
Exactly. All right, so for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.